I think there's challenges that are our church is facing here in the last days. Would you agree with that? I've been traveling around to a lot of churches in the valley, and I've had an opportunity to preach on some different things. And I've always been introducing the people to a book that I had a chance to read. And I've gone through it. This is my third time through it. And I ran into a lady who was from the Athena Weston Church here the other day, and I preached down there several weeks ago. And she said they were now using this book that I had mentioned in their prayer meeting. As a matter of fact, they liked it so well, they're going through it a second time in their prayer meeting. And so I would just, maybe some of you have already read it, I don't know. I happened to hear first about this book when my wife called up Dwight Nelson to speak some of his sermons there. We called up on our Blue Mountain TV. Anyway, he was speaking on the Holy Spirit, and he referenced this book, Steps to Personal Revival. I don't know if any of you have had a chance to read this book or not. I believe that today our church is facing one of the greatest crises, not from the outside, but from the inside of the church. And it doesn't take a very intelligent person to figure that out. I know in 10 years I've seen a church of 800 people, an Adventist church of 800 people, dwindle down to from two church services down to one with only about 125 attending total. And that's startling to me. So I asked the question, what's causing that? And anyway, Dwight Nelson kind of pegged it right on the nail, just drove the nail in. And he said, he gave a four-part sermon on this, so you're welcome to call up Dwight Nelson there, and you can get those sermons on Steps to Personal Revival. And it's written by Helmut Habiel. He's actually a German fellow. His book wasn't even available in the States until sometime around March. But the Pioneer Memorial Church, where he pastors, actually had purchased many of these books as they first were published in English. And you could obtain one of these books by calling in and to the Pioneer Memorial Church, which my wife did. And she got, 10 books or something like that? She got 10 books, and we gave them away immediately. Then I found out Remnant Publications, you could buy them from them for about $2 a piece. So we ordered a case of them. I started giving them out everywhere I went. And I'm down to one book that I can give away to somebody here today. And yeah, okay. So maybe if we have a deacon, we can have that one book given to her.
Can I have the one you have in your hand?
No, well, actually, you can't. It's got so many dog ears on it, I had to start turning pages on the bottom dog-eared on it, and then I've got all kinds of inserts in it and various things. But I want to tell you something. The greatest crisis facing the church today is the lack of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say the church, I'm talking about the Seventh-day Adventist church in particular, but I believe it's across the board. Something is happening, people. We are losing our members out of the church. What's going on? I want you to get this book. I want you to read it. Please do. You'll enjoy it. You'll see where he's coming from. As a matter of fact, he says there's three kinds of people in the world today. There is the natural person, which is the person who doesn't believe in God. And then there's the carnal person who actually believes in God, but he's not following the path of the Holy Spirit. And then there's the spiritual people, which are spiritual-filled people. And so I just want you to read that when you have a chance. And when I come back again next time, maybe you'll tell me more than I already know about that book. Maybe you'll understand why I'm preaching on the Holy Spirit here today. And that's what this is all about, is the Holy Spirit today. Because the biggest threat that our church gets... Yeah, that's right. The ABC said they were going to have them on their shelves. So if you check there, you might be able to get them. I don't know if you can get them quite as cheap as you can get them through Remnant Publication. But if you buy large quantities, you can get them there. Should I try that now?
Not yet. Bringing the TVs back on.
Okay. All right. Well, enough of that said. I'd like to have a word of prayer as I start. Could I do that? Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. I thank you that I don't have to stand here in my own power. I thank you for the power that Jesus gives me through the Holy Spirit. And I call upon that Holy Spirit today. Lord, this is not about any one individual. This is about Jesus, who is the individual. For all things come through him. All things are from him. He is the great Savior. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So we come to you, Jesus, this morning. We bring our lives to you. We offer them to you. We ask you just bless us as we go through this talk here this morning. Thank you for being in attendance with us through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In 1962, I attended a high school as a freshman. We had a total of 66 kids in that school. That wasn't a very big school. But that school was high on three sports, baseball, football, and basketball. With basketball being the one that was really, everybody was into it, the whole community was into it. And so here we are in 1962, I'm a freshman, and 12 of the boys in the school, I call them boys at that age, showed up for basketball practice on the first day of the beginning of the practice for the basketball season. We had a brand new coach. His name was Ken Spillers. He was fresh out of the University of Kentucky. He was a basketball star there at the University of Kentucky. He was to teach along with Coach Basketball. I can tell you right now, he could coach basketball, but he couldn't teach. It only lasted for 1 year. But on the very first day, 12 of us excited young men were standing there on that basketball floor. And we expected him to come out, and he was going to show us all the techniques that he knew as a basketball player. And all of a sudden he says, I want you to listen to me very carefully. What do you think we're going to do today? A couple of these aggressive young men raised that. We're going to do all kinds of calisthenics. We're going to do exercises. We're going to run. And he says, yes, you're right. But that's not the most important thing we're going to do today. The most important thing we're going to do today is I'm going to tell you how to be a winner at basketball. So everybody was quiet. They hadn't had a winning team there in Fall City, Oregon for I don't know how many years. It was like 20 years, 21 years. No trophies in the trophy case. And he says, I want you to listen to me right now because I'll tell you how you can become a winning basketball team. I want you to take and eat basketball, sleep basketball, drink basketball, talk basketball, walk with a basketball in your hands to school every day. Bounce that basketball, talk about basketball with your teammates. Everybody is going to be thinking basketball. Well, I can't honestly say all 12 of the boys took that to heart, but some did. And I can remember dribbling a basketball to school. Even on the rocky road, I was walking on to school. Everybody, and pretty soon there was this 5-6 guys. They were all dribbling basketballs to school, and they dribbled them down the hall in the high school. We only got away with that 1 year. But I want to tell you something. For the first time in 21 years, they had a basketball team. They went on. They were in the B leagues, the lowest league. I mean, they said it was a B league because you only had so many kids in school. And anyway, they come out and we started playing basketball. First time in 21 years, they didn't lose a game. They played basketball. That was the only year we had Coach Storrs. He was gone. Couldn't teach, but sure could play basketball. Taught us a lot, though. This morning, I would like to just talk with you about what's between the ears. The Bible calls it the heart at times. In other places, it's called the mind. I don't know if this is going to work. Things going to work for us, Keith?
Yes.
Which one am I supposed
to do? Right hand.
Right hand.
Well, I'll do it for you.
On. It says on.
Yeah.
Okay. In case you didn't know it, I'm going to show you a brain right now. I got some good news for the male gender. Did you know that your brain weighs an average of 3 pounds. And here's the good news, men. Your brain is slightly bigger than the female's. But here's the bad news, men. When you get older, you lose more mass on your brain than the ladies do. And I found that to be very true. Because my wife is always telling me what I should already know.
Yeah.
I used to give a lot of credit to the devil than he deserves. A lot more credit than he deserves. I used to think that if a temptation came, it was because of the devil's fault, right? However, the truth is that most circumstances, as it comes into my life, that's sinful, is a result of my sinful nature. It's quite often that's the real culprit. I am led away because of my own desires. The devil's not even mentioned in our text this morning that was read. And by the way, thank you for reading that text. Bible says that every one of us are controlled by just two things. And I don't know if that's going to work.
Right hand button.
Right hand button. Well, wait a minute. Am I right-handed? I'm asking my wife. Right hand button, it doesn't want to move. There, you did it for me. Thank you.
I'll do it for you.
You're controlled by two things. Our sinful nature or the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes our sinful nature is called our fleshly nature in the Bible. So I'm going to talk about controlled by the sinful nature first. Could I have the next slide, please? Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds up here, have their mind set on what that nature desires. You have seen people dominated by their sinful nature. I'm sure you've run into them. There was a time I was controlled by it, and I may be controlled at times even now. Quite frankly, people, I think we battle our sinful natures constantly. But you know what? We have a security. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. And if we have the Holy Spirit, even though I might cave today, tomorrow's a new day with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, this afternoon might be a new time with the Holy Spirit. The mind is set on sin at times. We're controlled by our evil nature. And by the way, there were several people in the Bible that were controlled by their evil nature. Isaac was controlled by his carnal nature. I don't know if you remember him. He was the guy that liked savory venison. Remember that? Yeah. Like, as a matter of fact, in Genesis 27, the words venison or savory meat or eat are mentioned about 20 times. That was one of the big things in his life. In Genesis 25, 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. I think that's a fair idea, concept to get from that translation. He loved him because he cooked the good food. So how about it, husbands? Do you love your wives because they cook the good food for you? You better tell her that. We don't read that Isaac loved Esau because Esau was a holy man of God. Esau was not a man of God. Esau had the upper hand because he catered to his father's warped appetite. Isaac's lusty appetite led to many mistakes in his life. The errors of the carnal mind are illustrated in Isaac's successive mistakes with his two sons. He had Esau and Jacob. You all know the story. He was going to die in Genesis 27:2, but actually he ended up living 40 years or maybe even a little more than that. His senses failed him. Then he thought, well, it's time to give away everything. I'm going to die. Next slide. You see him there on his deathbed. And guess who's there? The carnal mind relies on the five senses. It does not rely on the Holy Spirit. He thought he was eating savory venison when he was eating an old goat. His sense of touch failed him. He thought he was grasping the arm of Esau when it was Jacob with the old goat skin around him. His sense of sight was gone, so that failed him. His sense of smell deceived him. Only his sense of hearing did not deceive him. If you go by the carnal mind, you will be deceived. It was God's will for Jacob to have the blessing, according to Genesis 25:23. However, Isaac at that time was troubled by his stomach, and so he thought Esau got the blessing. If you are controlled by your hormones, you will be out of control. Bottom line. Isaac's son Esau caught the same spirit from his dad, and he became a man controlled by his passions. He was always carrying a chip around on his shoulder. He slipped further and further away from God. I don't know, friends. We meet folks controlled by the sinful nature every single day. Many times it's very hard to tell that they're controlled by their sinful natures. You have met people who are dominated by their passions. You meet other people who are controlled by beauty. Others by pride, ambition. They keep the tanning parlors busy during this time of the year and during the winter. They're controlled by lust. They're controlled by wealth. Man, if you could just see the size of my bank account. If you allow such things to control your life, you're headed for self-destruction. You can even be controlled by your religiosity. That's a hard one to detect. That's what the Jews were being controlled by, right? Where's our Sabbath school teacher? They were controlled by their religiosity. Do you know people today that are controlled by their religiosity? You may run into some once in a while. You are not becoming fit for heaven, but fit for destruction if we're controlled by our sinful nature. Can I be just frank with you? I mean, that's what I'm trying to be. I'm sorry if I'm washing it over. I'm not trying to do that at all. Peter did that, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 16 in the Bible, Peter was a man controlled by the carnal nature at one time in his life. He was not an evil man. Peter just had his thoughts in the wrong place. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, it says, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Is this serious? Seems to be, doesn't it? "Get behind me, Satan, because you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." You are thinking sinfully. You don't have the things of God in mind. Peter's problem was between his ears. His mind was set on bad things, and Jesus saw the devil coming through in his life. How about James and John? These are disciples we're talking about here. What do you think? They had a spiritual problem, didn't they? They clamored on over who was going to sit on the right hand and who was going to sit on the left hand. You know, you get the impression as you go through some of these illustrations, biblical illustrations, that there was a lot of people who had spiritual issues going on during the time of Jesus. Could it be we have the same problems today? Whoa, I don't mean to step on toes, but friends, there's a reason why the mean age for Seventh-day Adventists is going up. Why it's older people sitting in the pews. There's a reason for it. We shouldn't be arguing about the color of the carpet or the color on the walls of the church. It doesn't necessarily mean that Peter was a bad person and James and John were not, they weren't focused on gross sensuality. They were selfish and envious. These are all part of the flesh thinking process. You can read the whole list there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. But another example of this type of behavior is if you're controlled by your carnal mind, then we have to ask the question, are our children controlled by the carnal mind? There's so much that's going on. You know, it's difficult to walk down the streets and see a young person that isn't going like this as they're traveling along. Have you ever run into anybody like that? It's hard to find an adult that isn't doing that today, just like this. They don't even know they're walking by you. I think that they should have traffic laws for pedestrians. How many of you just about hit somebody that's doing that, stepping off the curb and walking right in front of you? Remember, friends, what we see all the time is what we become. We've got to reset our minds. We reset our clocks. Just like I set my clock last night because I have to get up at such a time because I like to spend time with the Lord before I go into the Sabbath morning when I talk or when I'm teaching a Sabbath school class. You see, what dominates your thoughts? What do you think about in your spare time? What pops up in your mind when you really don't have anything too particular going on? Is it Jesus? Is it something spiritual? Or is it something carnal? In Romans chapter 8, 6, it says this. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The Bible says the mind of a sinful man is death. It doesn't lead to death, it is death. Jesus himself said, let the dead bury the dead. Which means, friends, there's dead people walking around. They're already dead. And you know, it's impossible for a dead person to find God. Did you know that? A dead person can't find God. Sinners don't go to God. Sinners don't go to God. He comes to them. The lost coin had to be found by its owner. God went looking for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eve. God always comes looking for us. He makes the first initiation in the return process, friends. God does that. God gently shakes us. Revelation 3, remember that text. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man answers, anyone answers, guess what? I'm coming into your house today. Those who refuse to awaken to this, his efforts will eventually be eternally dead. In Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, it says, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We reset our clocks. We must also reset our minds. That's what Coach Spillers was telling us. If you want to be a winning basketball team, you need to think basketball. You need to talk basketball. You need to drink basketball. You need to walk to school bouncing a basketball. Basketball needs to be the center of your life, and you'll be basketball players. You want to be a Christian, you need to think Jesus. You need to talk Jesus. You need to drink Jesus. You need to walk with Jesus. And you'll be a Christian. Colossians chapter 3. This is a text that's not there. But look in your Bibles. I just happen to think of it. Colossians. That's in your New Testament. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 to 3. Notice what it says there. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Good news, friends. Your life is hidden with Christ. You cannot get to heaven without the Holy Spirit. So now let's talk about being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Do you know how to avoid mistakes made by the carnal mind? Well, you need a new mind. You need the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5. I like these texts. Your attitude, the NIV, I like that. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. The King James Version, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We should be praying always. You need the same thinking, the same attitude, the same mind that Jesus had. You need the same walk as Jesus. If you're going to be a son of the living God, or a daughter of the living God, you need to be like the living God. I like it. Jesus said, it's important that I go away, for if I do not go away, I will not send it. He had to leave so we could have that Holy Spirit. He will lead you into all truth. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. He is the comforter. He is the helper. Friends, we need that helper. You need the same thinking, the same attitude, the same mind that Jesus had. It's one of the most exciting things in the whole Bible right here. It's fantastic. And the good news is, friends, we can have it every day. Every single day. How would you like to have the mind of Christ? Can you imagine all of that fit into a pound brain? Somehow, God compacted that knowledge in His Son, and He was born with it. Somehow, God compacts it so that you and I can fit it into our mind too, because when we're born again, we have that same mind of Christ. That's good news. It's the best news. It's possible for human beings to eventually think with the mind of Jesus. And I'm blown away by that thought. It's possible for us to have the same mind as Jesus. Jesus said, greater things you will do. I can't even fathom that. How could you possibly do greater things than that, than what He's done? Our goal is to be like Jesus. At least that's what our goal should be. We'll never be God, of course, but we're striving to be as close to Him as we can get, aren't we? You'll never be like Jesus in your actions until you become like Jesus in your thoughts. Human beings can change their lives by changing the thoughts of their mind. That's how you change your life. It's just that simple. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. In order for you to forsake the way of sin, you have to forsake the sin, thought of sin. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. If you want the way to be right, then the thought ought to be right. It starts right here. Do you want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? We need to have the mind of Christ. Why do we need the mind of Christ? Well, Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So how do we get that mind of Christ? Now we're getting down to the real meat of this talk. I wouldn't want to close without telling you how to get the mind of Christ. Am I saying this is a guarantee? Not at all, because it all depends on your decision. It all depends on my decision. We get it by just inviting and allowing the Holy Spirit to control our minds. Then we daily grow closer to Jesus. There's several texts here. 2 Corinthians 4:16, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that's important, friends. I want to tell you, I think the biggest problem with Christianity today, and perhaps my biggest problem and your biggest problem, is that I don't go every single day and seek out that Holy Spirit. We think once we do it, we've got it. But Ellen White says in Desire of Ages, page 313, God does not bestow help for tomorrow. We are to follow Christ day by day. Day by day. And then heaven is reflected more and more in our thoughts and more in our actions. We live the Christ-controlled life and make steadfast advancement towards Christ-likeness. It's just like Enoch. He walked with God. You know, I used to think, is it possible that is Enoch walked with God, but maybe God just wasn't there. God was present up here. I'm just throwing that out. We have a tendency to think maybe he walked every single day with God right beside him. Whatever was going on with Enoch, he walked close enough to God, whether it be here and here and here, he walked right into heaven. That's what it needs to be like with us. On resurrection morning, heaven will be just the natural transition of life led by the Spirit. In Romans 8, 9, it's not there? Okay.
This is, there's one.
Oh, they did it now. Okay, thank you. It's almost like somebody's playing with that thing. I know it's not you, Keith. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. I'm going to just bring an illustration to you. Have you ever had people, you know, Psalms, whenever you have a chance, when you go home today, read Psalm 1:1. And then get your dictionary out and see what all those words really mean. Okay. But it talks about not sitting in the ways of the scornful, people with contempt. You can look it up whenever you want. I don't have it here in front of me right now. But I just was thinking of it. We had a young lady who came and preached at our church. Maybe she's been here in this church. Maybe your pastor invited her to come. I don't know. She's a new Christian. And she's taking theology at Walla Walla University. And she came to church, and I had just finished. I didn't even know who was speaking. I just walked out of my Sabbath school class. I'm retired, of course. And anyway, so I'm not the pastor of this particular church. I just walked out of my Sabbath school class, and all these people, it was just like right there, because they knew I was a pastor. And they had this issue with the speaker. The speaker is a female. She's wearing a blouse and a pair of pants. And when she's on the platform, she doesn't have any shoes on. And I responded by saying, you know, my neighbor parks his car over there in front of my house all the time, and it really drives me crazy. So they could see it was going nowhere with me. And that's the truth. They do. Just drives me crazy. But that's not what's important, people. What's important is that God put that young woman there, and she preached a wonderful message in her bare feet. We can't focus on the things of the Holy Spirit because at times all those distractions, whether they be religious distractions or whether they be material distractions, whatever it is, it creates a problem for our sinful natures. We are hopelessly bogged down by negative thinking or by worldly thinking. Each item screams for our attention. What goes on in our heads is very, very important. Isaac thought he could control his craving for savory venison, but he couldn't. Mark 19:23. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. If you invite the Holy Spirit into your hearts, you can live the Christian life. You don't have to be hopelessly bogged down into sin. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. We need outside help. You can't cure this disease. That's why we need a new heart. I don't need God to come in and remodel my brain. I need a new mind. I need the mind of Christ in my life. You need the mind of Christ in your life. Each of us needs a spiritual heart transplant. Our heart is not clean. Do you know that scientists have discovered that every single snowflake has a tiny piece of dust at its core? You've maybe heard this before. Every snowflake has a dirty heart. In the spiritual realm, when the blood of Christ is applied to the heart of an unbeliever, it cleanses him from all sin. Not a speck of defilement remains. Good news. I wonder if God knew about the tiny piece of dirt in the heart of each snowflake of snow when he caused David to write in Psalm 51:7, "Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow." You need to have the Holy Spirit in your mind. God says in Ezekiel 11:19-20, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them, and I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. They will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God." Walked into a Sabbath school class in South Spokane Hill in the pastor's class, and he was teaching on the commandments of God. We did that here a couple of quarters ago. They were talking about the commandments or the law of God. And the teacher, he wasn't the pastor, the senior pastor of the church. He was the associate pastor. And he asked the classes. My son-in-law and I were sitting down in the class. We kind of walked in the middle of the class. And he asked the question, "Do we prioritize the law?" And it took him a few minutes. Everybody got their minds going and clicking. They said, "Yeah, we do." And he said, "Well, how do we, what do we do? What, when you say, yeah, we do, well, how do we prioritize the law?" "Well, the most important law is keep the Sabbath holy." That's what they said in their class. And I said, "Well, what do you do with the statement that Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul, and the second is like unto it. You shall love the neighbor as yourself." On those two laws hangs all the prophets in the law. Everything hangs on them. So if you want to prioritize law, we've got to start with something that isn't in the Ten Commandments. Or is it? I want a new heart so I can think new and good thoughts. What you think about all day long has eternal consequences, people. Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." On a day, a pretty white woolly lamb walked by a pig pen. It was hot, and hot day, and he saw the pigs wallowing in the cool mud. And, "Mama, Mama, can I jump in?" "No, no, you can't climb in there." "Well, why not, Mama?" "Well," the mother sheep said, "sheep do not wallow." One hot day, the little lamb could not get the pig pen out of his mind. And finally, he followed his thoughts and he ran and he jumped right into the pig pen. And the mud felt so good and it was so cool on his feet and legs. And soon his stomach, it was all cooled off and he was having a wonderful time. And he said, "Mommy has been wrong." Finally, he felt cooled off and he started to leave and he could not get out of the mud because it all stuck and dried on his wool. And he was bogged down in the stuff. His pleasure had become his prison. And if worldly thinking gets a hold of us, it will become our prison, people. Finally, the little lamb cried out, and the kind farmer came and rescued him. From that day on, he focused on filling his mind with thoughts of the cool shade of the green pastures by the clear flowing waters. You see, what starts out as a simple thought may ultimately determine our eternal destiny. Watch your thoughts. They will become words. Watch your words. They will become actions. Watch your actions. They will become habits. Watch your habits. They will become character. And watch your character, because it will become your destiny. Do you see, friends? Your future is in your mind, between your ears. You are becoming what you think about in your private moments. I'm going to give you a text now that's not on the screen. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. And it's interesting, after I went through this talk this morning, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, the Lord told me, you need to run it, read another chapter in John. And I said, well, okay, I'll do that. And so I turned to the book of John, and I said, I've read chapter 1 just the other day. I want to read chapter 2. So I started reading chapter 2, and I came to verses 16 and 17. This was when Jesus had cleansed the temple. Notice what it says in verse 16. And he said, this is Jesus, and he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up, or has consumed me. Let me ask you, does God have a temple on earth? Where is God's temple on earth? It, you are God's temple, right? If you take material things into your temple, what are you doing? And here's the question. Are you zealous enough for God to clean it out today? To get rid of it all? To put him first? To be on a winning team? Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Jesus' own resurrection is the guarantee that those who ask God for a new mind set on Jesus will also be raised to life at the last day. Things are getting bad out there. The church is facing some real challenges. The only way I can help that church, this church, your church, is to take a look at my life. It's the only way I can help you. I can't stand up here and preach. I need to look here. So if I had you all stand today waiting for me to tell you what you need to do to become successful Christians, you eat, drink, sleep, walk with Jesus. Because there you've got the answer. You've got the answer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, come Holy Spirit today. Recharge us. Give us that spirit in our minds so that we might cry out, Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord. You promised to clean us up. And so we promise to dedicate ourselves to you. Not just today, but we're going to ask for the same thing tomorrow and the day after and the day after until we walk into heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen.